In 1 Corinthians 15, we find our text today in verses 20 through 28. Let's consider those together, and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing on our next few minutes as we look at his word together. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Father, we thank you for the time again we have today to be here to celebrate the resurrection. Lord, we ask now over the next few minutes, as we consider the words of Paul and look at our exalted, risen Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today. May you remind us of the power of sin that was broken those many years ago. And may you help us to look forward to the day when death is dead forever. Lord, may we see our hope is Jesus Christ. May you encourage our hearts today. Lord, we ask now that you would quiet our hearts and our minds, that you would use your word, drive it deep into our hearts today, speak to us. May we walk out of this place different than we've come in because we have heard the truth of God's word and your Holy Spirit has applied it to our lives. We ask now that you would be honored and glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you ever found yourself in a situation where you needed a convincing argument about something to make sure that you won this discussion that you were having, right? And sometimes there's an argument or a proof that's given in a situation that secures trust, certainty, and victory over whatever it is at that moment. It may be in an argument that you're having with a friend. It may be in a court of law with a court case that's being presented, or perhaps it's something being done in a research study in these findings. However, the greatest and ultimate victory of the greatest and most important thing, that is eternal life, hinges on what we're here to celebrate today, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, lays out an incredible treatise, so we're not going to look at the whole chapter today. That would take probably four sermons to get through that. But it's an incredible treatise on the resurrection and what that means for us today. And in fact, Paul details in the section before this the effects of Jesus never rising from the dead. If Jesus had not been raised, here are things that Paul says are true. And in fact, he closes that portion in verse 19 with these words: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. However, we have not faith in Christ in this life only, but in eternity to come. For he is risen. And as Paul continues on in this passage, we find our text today about the risen Lord. And here, Paul lays out very clearly that because Jesus is the risen Lord of all, we have an incredible hope for all of eternity. And in fact, because Jesus is the risen Lord, sin is defeated, death's ultimate end is coming, and his own will rise again one day. And as we sit here today, as we join together to worship, to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, let us examine these verses about our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking forward to what that means for those who trust him for all of eternity. And we see two incredible promises made here and the victories that are won and at the resurrection and for all eternity to come. And so as we turn our attention here to the passage in the first few verses, the first thing that we run into here and we see is that Jesus' resurrection promises us resurrection through faith in him. Because Jesus is the first of many to come, Paul says in verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep. On that first day of the week, almost 2,000 years ago, which we read in our passage this morning from John chapter 20, Jesus Christ claimed victory over sin and death when he arose from the grave. And in so doing, Paul says he became the first to rise for all of eternity. His resurrection looks forward to one day when those who believe in him and trust in him will rise with him. Paul says that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And the words fallen asleep here are referring to those who have died. The first fruits is a picture from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there were many sacrifices that were offered in worship to God. And the offering of first fruits was something that the children of Israel came and gave from the crops and the things they harvest. We read in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you shall come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." These first fruits that God required of his people to bring before they could harvest anything else was not the entire harvest. But yet, it was merely the first installment of the harvest. The Israelites, they couldn't harvest those crops until that offering to God had been made, and they were an example of the crops coming in and a promise that there would be more to come. So when Paul says that Jesus Christ is the first fruits, he is the first to be resurrected for all of eternity, in his resurrection then, there is a promise of more to come. Just as those Israelites for thousands of years or hundreds of years brought these offerings of the first fruits to the temple and to the tabernacle, and it was a sign that there would be more of that harvest to come. Jesus Christ rose from the grave with a promise that there will be others who rise as well. Jesus is not the first one, by the way, resurrected in Scripture. Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, specifically under the ministries of Elijah and Elisha and Jesus, we see resurrections. But there's something different about Jesus' resurrection. One, Jesus needed no one to resurrect him. He is God. And two, all of those that were resurrected before Jesus died again. All those under Elijah, under Elisha, and even Jesus faced death here on this earth once again. But Jesus rose for all eternity. And because he is risen, Paul says we will rise again one day as well. Jesus is the first of many to rise for eternity, and one day the dead in Christ will rise. One day, all who trust in God for salvation will live for all of eternity, and that is possible because Jesus has risen, because he is the giver of eternal life that we see in verses 21 and 22. Paul continues on, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Jesus, fully God and fully man, came to bring us eternal life. And just as death was brought on by man, life was brought on by the God-man, Jesus Christ. In Adam, all were made sinners. Adam, the first man created, and we read about this in Genesis chapter 1, his creation. And then Genesis 3, we read about how Adam and Eve disobey God. And Adam, the first man, plunges the human race into sinfulness by his willful disobedience to God. Because of Adam, all of us are born with a sin problem. Because of Adam, we all face death, both physical and spiritual. Because of Adam, we needed a Savior. Jesus came to be that Savior. He is the promised Messiah. He is the crucified Lamb, and now he is, as we see today, the risen Lord. He came and fulfilled the law of God with a life of perfect obedience and gave his life on that cross in substitution for yours and mine. And death came to man by man. That's what Paul says. That's what Adam brought to us. And as that happened, so also eternal life comes to man through man. Because of Adam, all men die. Because of Jesus, all who trust in him shall be made alive. It's an interesting statement, right? Because here, the all, in Adam, all die. That applies to every single one who's ever walked the face of this earth. Every single human being will die because of Adam. Every single person who places their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will be made alive. In Adam, we cannot escape spiritual and physical death. But because of our sin, we deserve eternal separation and punishment from God. And we justly earn that punishment. We justly earn that separation for our sin against a holy, perfect, and eternal God. Yet in Christ, we can have eternal life. Because as Jesus said, in Christ we can be born again. And not talking about a physical human birth, but a spiritual, supernatural birth. In Christ we have new life. And all who come to Christ will find life everlasting. All who experience physical death that are in Christ will be raised from the dead just as he was raised. And just as Christ was physically raised from the dead on that morning, that first day of the week there, so shall we be physically raised. The soul of any believer who dies on this earth is immediately in heaven with God, but one day the physical bodies of those who trust in Christ will also be raised. And we sit here and we say, with man, that is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He is the giver of eternal life, and one day he will come. As we see in verse 23, Jesus is the one who will gather his own, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. We do not know for sure when our Lord will return, but the scriptures are very clear, he will return. He will gather his children, and in that moment, the resurrection of his followers begins. And there's an order that Paul says here that things will occur, and we don't have this order here in this passage, but we go throughout Scripture and we see these things. First, Paul says here that the first one to be resurrected is Jesus Christ, the first fruits, and that resurrection has already happened. And for 2,000 plus years, we've been waiting, right, for the next part of this. What does that look like? In other passages, we learned that the next part of this resurrection is that of the church, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, that all those both dead and alive in Christ will be raised. And as the judgment of God is poured out on this earth, we see that there are those who still place their faith and their trust in God. And these saints, we read in Revelation, are to be raised later on, and as well as those from the Old Testament who will be raised, as we read about in Daniel chapter 12. All of those who have placed their faith in God will experience this resurrection. And that includes all of those who lived and died before Jesus Christ was ever sacrificed on that cross. Because they have eternal life in God the same way you and I do today, and that is through faith, trust, complete and utter dependence on God and God alone. That is the only way to eternal life. Jesus will gather his own, one day completing the resurrection that was started on that first day of the week then. The resurrection of Jesus promises that all of those who believe in him will one day have eternal life. And because Jesus is the risen Lord, we also will be raised. But Jesus' resurrection has also a far-reaching, and we could really even say, we would feel like even a greater consequence, the defeat of death itself. Jesus' resurrection promises to us the coming end of death. In verses 24 and 25, we see that it's promised that Jesus will deliver unto his Father the eternal kingdom. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. After the resurrection and the carrying out of these events of the end times, the kingdom will be given over to God the Father by Jesus Christ, his Son. The end. Paul says here, he talks about then comes the end in verse 24. The end refers to that which is final, that which is fulfilled. The plan of God will be complete and fulfilled and have final victory over sin, Satan, and death itself. That is the end. And as one author said, in the end, it will be as it was in the beginning. all things will be good. All things will be perfect. All things will be made right. And as Paul describes, any rule, authority, or power that contends with God will be brought to an end. We live in a world today that seeks to exalt itself against God, do we not? We live in a time, as all men have lived, in a time of sin, where men set themselves up as kings or view themselves as gods and can do whatever they well please. There is coming a day when all of these will be cut off. And no one and no ruling body will ever again to exist to deceive, to mislead, or to threaten the rule of God. And Jesus, it says here, it describes that Jesus will put all enemies under his feet. He says in verse 25, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And that picture draws us back to the time of kings and of emperors. And they would sit on these high and exalted thrones. And the thrones would be so high that literally people standing or kneeling before them were under their feet. But it goes beyond that, to that of a conquering king who, when they would conquer them, would bring those rulers, those military leaders before the king, and he would take his foot and he would place it on the neck of the defeated enemy, showing that I have won total victory. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ will do. He will bring eternal victory to the kingdom of his Father. No person will be able to stand against him. No spiritual being will be able to stand against him. And in the end, death itself will have no power against him. Jesus claims victory in verse 26 over death itself. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death is a cold, hard reality in the world we live, is it not? Sometimes it's very impersonal. We read in the newspaper, or we look online, or we hear on the news of someone who died, or you know, or a friend, or maybe even just someone we knew about dying. Other times, death is extremely personal. A loved one, a friend, someone meaningful to us passes away. My friend, probably most of us, if not all of us in this room, have experienced the very personal feelings of death in our lives. But one day death will end. Jesus broke Satan's power at the cross, and in doing so, he broke the power of death itself. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were in their lifetime subject to bondage. In his death, Jesus Christ claimed victory. And in his resurrection, Jesus sets in motion the very end of death itself. Death was brought into this world by sin. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were there and they sinned, God said, if you do this, you will die. He's talking about spiritual and physical death. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as one man by one man sin entered to the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And as Christ abolishes sin and all those who oppose God, he then will eliminate death itself. You imagine a day we experience that no longer. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ set in motion the day he resurrected from the tomb. And at the end of the great white throne judgment, we read this in Revelation 20:14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This enemy of God, whose power had been broken in Christ, will plague us no longer one day. We will no longer face the end of our lives. We will no longer be saddened by the loss in death. Because Jesus Christ is the risen Lord, death will one day be no more. Paul goes on to expound on this. If you have your Bible in 1 Corinthians 15, just look down in these verses 54 through 57. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord over all. He reigns supreme. He will subject all things to himself, abolishing sin and Satan and death, and we will live under the rule of our Creator, the one true God, for all of eternity. And we see this in verses 27 and 28, that God is our eternal ruler. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. All things are put under the feet of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The exception of this is, of course, God the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, served his Father's will here on earth and plan of salvation and continues to do so in regard to eternity. Christ continues to do the will of his Father, but one day he's going to take the kingdom, he's going to deliver it back to his Father, and when he does, at that time, all things will once again be subjected to the perfect rule of God. The kingdom Jesus delivers to his Father will be a redeemed environment inhabited by his redeemed people. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will reign in perfection for all of eternity. God's glory is unparalleled, and it will be on full display for all to see for all of eternity. And all we who come to God in Christ, we will be there to enjoy that reign for all of eternity. We will worship and enjoy him. We will give glory to him, to God, as he deserves. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what brings this about. In his resurrection, he claimed ultimate victory. In his resurrection, he's the exalted Lord of all. As Paul wrote in Philippians, therefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And one day, whether you serve God or not, you will bow. And what a glorious day for those who know Christ to say, we'll worship God forever. Because in his resurrection, you and I have eternal hope. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, because of all this, because of everything I have written, because of everything about Jesus Christ and his resurrection, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Have you ever felt on this earth you are fighting a losing battle? Have you ever felt in this life that evil seems to have the upper hand? Paul says, because Christ has risen, that is not the case. Jesus Christ is King. And yes, we live in a fallen, broken world where fallen, sinful man is allowed to exercise some authority, but he's not in charge. And Paul says, therefore, be steadfast, be immovable. In Christ, we can be secure. We can do what is right. You and I can cling to the rock that is higher than us in a world that is ever changing. How many times does our world change in the matter of 3 days? And if you want an example of that, I mean, just look at the things we have heard over the last year. Do this, do that, don't do that, don't go here, right? And it's like every 3 days they change. Jesus Christ never changes. And as we never need change, in that we never need to worry about our security changing in God, we can abound in the work of the Lord, knowing our labor is not in vain. So share the message of the gospel. Tell others about the risen Lord. Work for him. Do everything in your life to his honor and his glory and his strength. Remembering that because Jesus is the risen Lord, sin is defeated, death's ultimate end is coming, and his own will rise again one day. Jesus' resurrection changes everything. Because he is alive, we can have new life. Because he is alive, we can one day rise again. Because he is alive, death will one day be defeated for all eternity. And Jesus rose to give to you new and eternal life. So very simply, my first question is, do you know him today as your personal Savior and Lord? You can experience freedom in your life from sin's penalty and power in this life through new life in him. And you can look forward to one day living with him for all eternity in his new and perfect kingdom. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with him, he is your Savior, then rejoice today in the wondrous resurrection of our Savior, who rose to die no more, who willingly gave himself as the Lamb of God. And as he said, no man can take his life from him, but he lays it down and he will take it up again. And ladies and gentlemen, he did that. But let us not limit that rejoicing in our lives to once a year, or maybe even a few times a year. Jesus died and rose again so that you could live out that new life in him every day. Do you realize that every day you can live in the power of his resurrection? If you have a relationship with God, he gives you the strength to live in a way that pleases him. That as Paul says, whether therefore we eat or drink or in whatever we do all to the glory of God. We can live with resurrection in mind. Embrace the power of his resurrection every day by living out the gospel and telling others about him and what he's done for you. Show others by your words, by your actions, through his word, what he has done. We live in a world looking for answers, looking for hope, looking for something to hold on to. Jesus is it. So let us go and proclaim that message to others, giving glory and thanks to our God, who has claimed victory over sin, who has claimed victory over death, and will one day call us to be with him and eliminate sin, death, and hell forever. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ and the ultimate victory we find in him. Lord, even as disciples did not even understand what they saw that day, so also are there many today who struggle with that or wonder what they have read and heard. Lord, if we have heard the gospel and you have applied it to our lives and we have responded in faith and come to you, help us, burden us to share that with others. Lord, would you, through this passage and through the account of the resurrection, would you encourage our hearts today as we have felt in our lives the sting of death. As we have experienced loss, may we see there is hope. As we have experienced brokenness, may we see there is healing. And as we have experienced sin, may we see there is eternity in view. Lord, I pray for all who are here today that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, for Christians, that you would show us that sin in our lives that keeps us from serving you, from declaring you fully with who we are and draw us to yourself. Eliminate these things from our lives. For those who do not know you, Lord, don't you continue to break through the hardness of their hearts. And draw them unto yourself. And Lord, may we realize that because Jesus rose, the world is never the same. And we have a hope and an anchor for our soul. And Lord, we ask now that as we go forth from this place and we go out to spend time with family or to celebrate with others, may we enjoy that time, but may we realize why it is we celebrate today. And may we with joy and praise in our hearts give ourselves back to you as your willing servants. In your name we pray. Amen.